To introduce our speaker today. And Brother Mike has been a part of my life about as long as I can remember. His children were more like cousins than just friends. And we grew up with them and they would travel. He was here as the associate pastor for 10 years. And they would travel an hour from their home in Baldwin and come and spend all day here with us. And we had great fun, Jenny and I, with their three kids during the day on Sunday. And then they would stay for Sunday night church and then drive the hour home. And Sister Debbie would bring all this food. We would all kind of put the meals together. But those of you that know my dad, I don't have an introduction. My dad would prepare these introductions that just, my dad was not like the average preacher. He would give people exploding pens and sell cars on the parking lot and, you know, I mean, all kinds of interesting things. But he would say, give these, you know, these crazy introductions. And I think some of his greatest joy came from giving some crazy present to Brother Mike, preferably in front of as many people as possible. Because, you know, the crazier and zanier, the better. He just loved that kind of thing. But, you know, Brother Mike has been not only like a part of our family, but he is now a mentor, him and Sister Debbie to Rick and I. If I either call my mom or I call Brother Mike and Sister Debbie often to ask spiritual questions and what should I do in this situation? And I am very grateful. And so Brother Mike, would you come and share the word with us today?
Thank you, Shannon. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate all those nice words. And it is like family with the Dials. And I was just thinking about the old trailer, the double-wide trailer the district gave us over here. I had a little office in the back by the woods over there. The best thing about it was it had a window AC unit. It was loud, but it was cool. And it was just a little office, but I do remember, I don't know how far apart the runners were, but you'd walk in a certain place in that room and kind of bounce down and up. God is good and He's faithful. Amen. And what really, a long time ago, began as friendship is like family between us and the Dials and their children. And I am, he was one of the, probably one of the best friends I ever had. And he did do some dirty things to me. I remember this is one of the lighter ones, I'll tell you. He put some sardines under my front seat. And about Wednesday, that was Sunday, and about Wednesday I told Debbie, and by the way, she feels real bad she couldn't be here this morning, but we had something come up in the family at the last minute, and she's got one of our grandkids, and we're sorry, but she sends her love to you. But anyway, about Wednesday I told Debbie, I said, I smell something, and my smeller don't work too good. I said, I smell something bad in that car. Go out there and smell that car. And she said, it is terrible, Mike. And I looked under the seat, and there was them sardines. But that is one of the lighter things, because I won't go into detail about some of the things he did. But he loved to have a good time. A merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones, and, you know, if you have dry bones, your bones are supposed to be moist, and if you have dry bones, you're not laughing enough. You need to, my dad used to tell me, don't take life too serious, and I think that's good advice for the most part. Well, this morning, go with me to Matthew 13, 44, and we're careful about using the word proud, because it sounds like something that you shouldn't be. But I am very proud of Pastor Rick and Pastor Shannon and just the whole church in general. Everything is so clean, so nice, and y'all are working together. You're loving each other, and you're reaching the community. And one of the things I look at in a church when I go to it is You know, a church is dying if they just have old people in it. Now, that's nothing against old people, because I'm not old, but I'm getting there. But then, you know, some churches just want to go all young. And then the older people don't feel like they have a place. And believe it or not, you need some gray hair in the congregation, some wisdom. But you also need the youth, too. And you need people in the middle age, too. And this church has that. It's a good coverage. And I think it's a challenge for the pastor and the people always to keep that balanced. So work at it with your pastor. Amen. Stand with me for the reading of the word, if you would. Matthew 13:44. I'm going to read the one verse. We'll pray and then you can sit down. The name of my message is Hidden Treasures. I don't know where that came from, but it seems like it sounds familiar, right? Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. And Lord, thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for loving us, forgiving us, saving us. Thank you for the vision of Pastor and Sister Dial when they came here and their girls. Lord, thank you for being so good to every family here, to minister to every one of them and to this community. And Father, give us a fresh anointing to do that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hidden treasures. There are certain things that the world will never see. They're hidden, and you won't see them either if you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God has to be number one, right? You know, for a long time I searched for Jesus, and when I found him, I found that hidden treasure. And you have to, I'm just checking to make sure you're awake. And what happens is you go through life, and the Bible says in John 6:44, they will not come unless they're drawn by the Father. When you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you, that's an open window to come to the Lord. Don't ever turn him down. If he's dealing with you for salvation or whatever it is, come to him while that window's open. Because seek ye the Lord. He says, when a man hath found, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and to our God, for he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:6-7. Now, every preacher's got his own style. That's all it is. It's a style. And one thing I've learned listening to preachers and teachers over the years is this. Don't get hung up on one preacher. Because there's many facets of preaching and teaching, and I know everybody seems to have their favorites, but always remember this. It's all part of the body. God put it in the body to be that way, and every person has their own personality. That's why you shouldn't try to be anybody but you. You can learn from other people, but always be you. Amen? Let the Lord use your gift, because there's not another one like you in the world. Amen? And I'll just tell you, when I study a preacher, I just figure it takes me one or two times, and then I just really like him. But I have to figure out his style. Now, my style is I just stick to the Word. And you don't have to take notes, but if you want to, I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and you can study them during the week. And really have a good little Bible study yourself. The first hidden treasure that's hidden is the kingdom of God come within you. When Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, Luke 17:20-21, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. It's not a political thing that you can see out here. For the kingdom of God is within you. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins and come into your life, the kingdom of God, it's a whole different way of thinking, comes into your life. Totally different. The natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. They just can't receive them. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's not the externals, but it's righteousness and peace and joy, can you say amen, in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. And so the kingdom changes you. You'll never be the same. And anything that ever comes into your life that tries to take the place of the kingdom, you want to throw it out, because you've got to keep growing. You've got to keep moving. Now listen, if you'll look at verse 10 through 17, I want to say this real quick. You want to look at verses 10 through 17 about the hidden treasures. The disciples came unto him and said, why speakest unto them in parables? He said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. You know, Jesus told a lot of stories, and he clothed them in parables, the earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Because they seeing not and hearing not, neither do they understand. Jesus intentionally talked about the kingdom in parables because he only wanted people that really, really wanted the kingdom to understand them. Even the smart people could not understand his stories unless they gave up everything to follow him. You know, Nicodemus in John 3, Jesus told him in John 3:3, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You won't see it later, but you won't see it now. But once you get the kingdom of God within you, you can start seeing things you never saw before, because you receive the Holy Spirit. And then there's another gift. You can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and even see more things than you've ever seen before. 4 verse 15, for this people's heart, see, God's interested in your heart, is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now I want to tell you something. God does not always do this to me, but he gave me a prophetic word to tell you before I preach this message. And this is the word he gave me to you. The points I'm going to show you today about hidden treasures, I'm going to show you 7 different hidden treasures, and there's more, but 7 main that I want to show you. God says to tell you this, that the level of your revelation in the truths of the kingdom will be equal to your commitment to the kingdom. In other words, if you don't want to get it, you're not going to get it. If you really are serious about the kingdom, you're going to understand the truths of the kingdom. Now, we start off in 1344. The hidden treasure is salvation. God saves you, gives you a life. And it's a brand new life, and it's a kingdom of God is within you. It's a different world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. But I want to show you here 45 and 46, because this is going to open up the point to the second treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man, 13:45. Seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He gave up everything to buy the one pearl. And that one pearl is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every kingdom has a king. And not only do you get the kingdom of God, but you get Jesus, the king of that kingdom in your heart. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14:18, before he left, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. And he comes to you and lives in you and walks in you. And that is the truth of the kingdom. He's the pearl of great price. He is the rose of Sharon, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the only one like he is. There is no other one. And that is a treasure, the king and the kingdom. The treasure number two is this. I looked that word up, pearl, the one pearl, in the Greek, which the New Testament was written after the Greek, Old Testament after the Hebrew. And that word pearl means just what you think it would mean, a pearl, but it means this too. It means an interpreter, one who explains thoroughly. And see, that brings me to treasure number two, the word of the living God right here. It is the best seller there has ever been, but it is probably one of the least read books there ever has been. And most people say, well, the reason I don't read the Bible is because I can't understand it. You know what? You're right. Because you have to have the pearl of great price, the interpreter, to do it. And you not only that, but you have to be a doer of the word, James 1:22, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Blessed are they, Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. I can only tell you this, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40:8. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119:89. It is said, it'll never change. And you know what? This Bible, what's inside of it, Jesus told the disciples, John 16:12, he says, I have many things to say unto you now, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he shall tell you all things. Whatsoever he hears from heaven, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it. I'll tell you secrets. I'll tell you things that are hidden, that nobody else knows, that you need to know to be successful in this life. But if you don't want to read this, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Proverbs 14:12, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. So read it to stay alive. Read it to stay vibrant. Read it to stay hooked up to the kingdom, this other world, in Jesus' name. Now go with me on that thought about the Bible. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs, she said, amen. Proverbs chapter 2. Yeah. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And you see, Proverbs chapter 2, still talking about the word, that second treasure. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, hide your commandments with them. Do you know this Bible will separate you from sin, or sin will separate you from the Bible? Put this down if you're taking notes, Psalms 119:9-11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And why would you hide his word in your heart? Because John 14:26 says, when the comforters come, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you. Right when you need the word, the Holy Ghost, because you've made deposits, he will bring it to your remembrance and says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even say nothing. Keep your mouth shut. Now in Sunday school, Brother Brian said this morning, have you ever said anything you wish you hadn't said? They're like bombs. You can't call them back. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3. See, the word will protect you. The word will protect you. It'll make you smarter than you really are. You know why? Because it was written by somebody that was a lot smarter than any of us. And I want to show you this. We don't have time to go into all this, but so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. 2:3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her for silver and searchest her as for hidden treasure. There it is again, see. If you search as for, if you really try to find it, you're going to find it. If you cry after it. See, now here's where prayer comes in. You read the word, God talks to you. Now you're praying, you talk to God. Oh, there's a relationship developing there. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit comes really alive because he quickens this word to your heart. It's just words unless you've been converted. But when you've, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to be full of the Spirit? Be full of the Word. And pray, because it's not just what's in your head, but God's interested in what is in your heart. And as you pray, and as your heart is changed, and your head and your heart become one, you have a heart after God, in Jesus' name. And I want to show you three things that the Word will protect you. I'm just giving you an example here. As you read it and as you pray. I'm just giving you an example. There's a lot. But if you'll look in verse 12, it'll deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man who speaketh forward things, perverse things. Stay away from people that aren't good for you to hang around with. It'll deliver you from that if you'll listen to God. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. You want to be wise? Hang out with wise people. I didn't say you can't eat. Jesus ate with sinners, but he was close to the disciples. He didn't tell the world the hidden treasures. He only told the disciples the hidden truths. Amen? So pick your friends wisely. Now I want to say something to the girls. To deliver thee from the evil man. And we all make mistakes, and God will take you from wherever you're at, and he can turn your life out good if you'll trust him. But I'm telling you, if you pick the wrong man, just because you're lonely, I'd rather live by myself than be hooked up to the wrong person, wouldn't you? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Listen. Men, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. She'll mess you up, man. She'll mess you up. How many, I think, the plans that God has for you, how many have been gone a detour because they picked the wrong person? Wait. There's nothing wrong with what you did, sister. Now watch, there's something I noticed that's similar to this bad man and this bad woman. Both of them. It says the man, verse 12, from the man who speaketh perverse things, and the woman, even from the stranger with that flatters you with her words. They both, something's coming out of their mouth. You are so strong. I love you. I have never seen a man look as good as you do. Let me hang on to your arm again. Where'd you say your wife was? She's out of town. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth delivers the mail from the heart. If you'll listen long enough, they're going to sound good. But if you'll listen long enough, you'll pick up on it. How they talk to their mom and dad, or how they talk to somebody else, how they like to control the situation, even from a stranger who flattereth with her words. And put this down, Proverbs 5:3 says, her mouth drops like a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But 5:6 says, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. You don't know her. See, now I'm going to ask you this. Proverbs 31:10-12. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Because she's going to save you a lot of money, brother. Because she don't have to have everything. Okay? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's worth waiting on. Woo! Amen? And who can find her? Only God. Get in the Word and get in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will show you. Amen? Treasure number two is the Word. Treasure number three is praying. Now I want you to go over here to chapter 5, or excuse me, 15, verse 6. Chapter 15, verse 6. Ma'am? No, I'm not in Matthew, I'm in Proverbs. Yeah, thank you for asking me. Yeah. Proverbs 2, we was in Proverbs 2, and now we're going to Proverbs 15. 6. I'm getting ahead of myself. Proverbs 15:6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. But it's hidden. It's hidden. You see them little kids giving you a hard time? That's your treasure, brother. Sister. I heard what Brian said about his wife and how she had to clean everything, and then the kids, grandkids came over, but my wife does the same thing. You know, I don't see how she does it. I don't see how she takes it. But she loves them grandkids. And I get all the benefit. I get the hugs. I don't have to do a lot of the work, but I get all the hugs. But in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Now, in the Hebrew, it means money, but it means another thing. It means in the house of the righteous is much strength. Your children are a strength to you. Your grandchildren are a strength to you. I tell you, I don't have any regrets. I got 3 kids, 3 grandkids. But if I had to do all over again, I wouldn't have less. I'd have more. Psalms 127:3-5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so is the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. In the gate is where they did business in the city. And the bigger family you had, the more say you had. Pastor Rick. Boy, the older I get, the more I appreciate my kids and my grandkids. You will too. And some of you already know what I'm talking about, but it's just something they're such a blessing, such a strength and a blessing. Number four, hidden treasure, your family. Make sure you spend time with them, right? Amen. Now listen. But in the revenues of the wicked, there is trouble. The income of the, if that's all you're living for a paycheck, you ain't got very much. If you want to forget about your family, you want to forget about the people that really mean the most to you, you haven't got very, you know, these sports guys, they climb the ladder. They want to get to the top. And once they get to the top, if you get to the top when you're 38 years old, I heard one say the other day that hadn't gotten saved. He said, when you get to the top, that's why a lot of them don't have their head screwed on straight, because money is not where it's at. It's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. But keep your priorities straight. Amen. He said, yeah, you get to the top of the ladder and there's nowhere to go but to jump off. That's how you feel. So enjoy the journey. Do you know when it comes to money, we need money, but God will give you money if you put him first. Amen. Did you know this? Ten Commandments, commandment number one, Exodus 20:3. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make money a god. Don't make money your god. And it's the 10th commandment, Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet. You will not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, his donkey, his maidservant, anything your neighbor has. You know why? You know what coveting is? It's wanting what somebody else has got. See, people aren't content. They don't want to praise the Lord for what they got. They want more. But more ain't going to make you happy unless the Lord's in it. Amen? And you know what coveting is too? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:12, that you shouldn't compare yourself with other people. You are happy until I see what Brian's got. And when I see what he's driving, I need to get one of them too. You know, there's a saying that says this. We spend money we don't have on things we don't need to impress people we don't like. At least they don't like us. And you get yourself into debt rather than to say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. And you, Acts 17:28, in you I live and move and have my being. I thank you for every breath in my body. Thank you that you're supplying all my needs. Philippians 4:19, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we forget that. And 1 Timothy 6:6-8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content? That don't mean that you don't want to go. That don't mean that you don't want to do better. But are you content? Are you thankful? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we'll carry nothing out. Never seen a U-Haul hooked up to a hearse. Amen. But having food and raiment, clothes, let us therewith be content. Amen. Did you know, you say, well, I don't have very much money. The bottom 5% in this country make more money than 68% of the world's population. I just read that, a statistic. Be content. Now, it's hard raising a family, right? And it does take money. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Don't worry. But if you'll drop down to verse 15 and 7 through 17, I want to show you this. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Don't worry about all this stuff. Do the best you can. Put the kingdom first, and God will take care of you. All the days of the afflicted are evil. James 5:13 says, let him that is afflicted pray. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord will deliver you from your financial woes in Jesus' name. But he that is of merry heart hath a continual feast. See, that's what Brother Dial had. That guy was, he had a continual feast. And you look at verse 13, remember that old saying, if you're happy, notify your face. You see that, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. A merry heart, 17:22, doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's when you have a disease, when your bones start getting dry. Keep them moist. I remember a friend of mine, Saul, he was about 90 years old, and I love that guy because he, even as old as he was, he wasn't like, oh, poor me. Saul was always laughing, having a good time. Just before he went home, he was a Jew. I led him to the Lord right on his deathbed. He said, my mother This is like spitting on her grave, but I'm going to do it. That's what he told me. Because see, the Jews don't ever feel like Jesus came the first time. But the Holy Spirit opened up that door, and Saul wanted to repent and give his life to Jesus. On his deathbed, Saul said this. He called me over to his bed, and he said, come here. And he said, he looked real worried, and he said, I think I'm losing it. I think I'm losing it, my mind. So I pulled, now this shows you how much people think about money. I pulled a $20 bill out of my wallet, and I said, tell me what this is. He said, it's a $20 bill. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. I think he thought I was going to give it to him. But he and I both had a big laugh about that. Did you know, look, watch this. Better, all the days of the afflicted evil, he has a merry heart, hath a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear. Notice those two words. Better is of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Did you know if you have love in your family, it don't matter if you don't have much money at all, because love will bond your family together. If you go to work and you do an honest day's work and you do the best you can, God will bless you. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, completion. Colossians 3:14. Now I want to show you something here. Did you see in verse 16 it said, better is? Started that verse. Verse 17, better is. Well, can I add one to that? I don't care what you're going through in finance, better is than the end of a thing, than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit, than the proud in spirit. It ain't over till God says it's over. Now, let me tell you something. When I was married, I'm still married. I'm glad I remembered that. But in 1974, I remember walking down U.S., you know, because some of you might think, well, preacher, you got money. I mean, you're telling me. So I'm gonna tell you hidden treasure in just a minute. I was walking down U.S. 1, me and my wife, picking up bottles, and I was working. I was lived in Silver Dolphin Trailer Park in a single-wide trailer, and we were picking up bottles. Back then, you could pick up glass bottles and get deposits. And we were doing that to get heat in our trailer. That's before we had kids. We didn't have kids for 5 years. But that was to get heat. I didn't have central air in my house till I'd been married 20 years. So you might have to be on a budget, but you can make it. You know, the old-timers used to say this, if we couldn't afford it, we didn't buy it. Right? But them credit cards will mess you up. Amen? They'll mess you up. And I'll tell you something else. I never had a new car till I had been married 40 years. And I've only ever had one new car. It's quiet in here. But what I mean is, I know what it is to have it hard. But you know what? I was young, and now I'm old. Did I say that? Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. He is merciful and ever lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Psalms 37:25-26. You know, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to move on from this point. This point right here is number five. Your family is number four. This point is God is faithful. You know, the old timers used to get up in church. I remember when I was a boy, and they'd say, I thank the Lord for being faithful. And I'd think in my head, that wasn't very much of a testimony. Thank the Lord for being faithful. Listen, that's a big testimony. Your whole life is wrapped up in that. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You're his child. He loves you. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all them things will be added unto you. Now, but I want you to reach across there and buckle your seatbelt right here. Just reach across there and snap it in. Because I'm going to tell you something about paying tithes. Preacher, Now, Pastor Rick, he didn't know what I was going to preach. He didn't know anything. He's innocent. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. Do you think I have always been a cheerful giver? No. Because when I was a young man, and knew that I was supposed to tithe, it really bothered me. I thought, God, how could you? See, you're supposed to give tithes and offerings, but I just want to talk about the tithes, because you've got to get by the tithe before you can pay offerings, you know? Some people think, I'm gonna really be good to God this morning, I'm going to give him a $10 tip. But you ain't even paid your tithes yet. The Bible says, Malachi 3, 7 through 12, well, the Old Testament's not for us, really. Well, tithes predates the law, because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 23, you pay tithes on anise and cumin, that's the smallest of herbs, and yet you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And then Jesus said this. He said, these you should have done. You should have paid your tithes and not led the others undone. In other words, you should have mercy and faith. The Bible says, here's what I learned as a young man. I remember I laid all the money out on the table one day. All the cash. That's how I used to pay my bills. I'd see how much I had. I'd lay it out. And I wanted to leave my wife at home with the kids. So we only had one income. But this goes if you got two. And this one day, I knew I needed to pay tithes. I'd been saved about a year and a half. And I'd pay them sometimes, but when it got tough, I wouldn't pay them. So I laid it all on the table. There wasn't enough to pay the tithes. And this is what I did. God, forgive me, okay? This is what I did. God knows I don't have enough money to pay my tithes. It's quiet in here, folks. I know you have never done anything like that. And so I commend you for being such a good tithe payer. Amen? But I know this. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits. Did you know the first fruits, when you take the 10% off the top and you give it to God, it sanctifies the rest of the 90. And I would rather go with the full blessing of God on 90% than I would be under a curse and try to spend 100% thinking about the health of my family, thinking about where I'm going to live, thinking about the bills I got to pay, and I would have God's full blessing on that. Amen. And it didn't take me long. God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it anyway if you're not cheerful. And as I began to do that, it became a habit, and wasn't always the happiest person. And it used to really irritate me for a preacher to say, God loves a cheerful giver. And I'd say, just take up the offering. That's what I'd say. Just take it. Let's get it over with. This is a hidden treasure, what I am sharing with you. And I don't say it because of the church. I say it because, number one, yeah, the church, yeah, they can use the money, the God's kingdom. But God wants to know what's in your heart. Where your treasure is, Matthew 6, 21, there will your heart be also. You got any skin in the game? Are God just a man in the sky? Yeah, God, good. And now I will tell you, after so many years of doing what I'm supposed to be doing, my thought is how much. See, I don't give to get. That'll happen, but that's not what I give. I just consider it a joy to give. Like I said, it's a hidden treasure. So you figure it out for yourself. But I will tell you this. I'm going to give you one example, and I'm going to move on. I got about 10 more minutes, and I'll be closing. Because finances have so much to do with people. Did you know that 62% of all arguments that a married couple have is over finances? 52% of all divorces are linked to finances. Did you know there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible about money and stewardship? See, God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that they dwell therein, Psalm 24:1. And so he owns everything, and he's just, whatever he's given you as a steward. He owns it all just to take care of it. And then he looks at you and says, I'm just asking for 10, and the government asks for more than that, and I'm taking care of you. At least that's what you say. That's what you tell people. I'm taking care of you, but... All my family were renters. We were all renters. But I wanted to have my own place. I wanted to have my own place. So I trusted God and I said, God, you know how much money I'm making? I need a place. I know it looks impossible, but I trust you. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to have my own place. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you.
The desires of your heart.
Oh, right. So a man I used to, one of the preachers I used to fill in for when he was on vacation or something in Baldwin, Florida, named Osborne. We were sitting in the parsonage driveway one day, 30 years ago. He was 46. He had cancer. I didn't know he had cancer. We were sitting in his driveway. And I told a friend of mine, I said, I need to find a place $25,000 or less. He said, Mike, you ain't going to find nothing for $25,000. He was right. I found something for $18,000. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's putting God first in your life. That's believing the things he says. And this brother Osborne, he died at 46. We're sitting in his driveway. And I said, brother, I know that you hear of things that I don't hear about. I had my uncle in Middleburg looking. And I said, if you hear about any place, $18,000, I mean 25 less. I think that's what I told him. 25 or less. Let me know. He goes like this. He goes, we're sitting in the car. See that place right there? There ain't no sale sign on it. I was saving it for myself. But I can't have it now, brother, but I want you to have it. I would have never picked it out like that. I'm still living there. It's paid for. Don't think I don't ever walk out. You know, one day I was in the backyard raking leaves. And I said, Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you. I have a place my kids can come and my grandkids. And I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, it was somebody's before you came here. It'll be somebody's when your family's gone. But as long as you remember, you're just a steward. But as long as you remember that, everything's going to be okay. God is faithful. Number five, he'll never let you down. Got two more to go. Hang in there with me. 21:20, Proverbs. This treasure is the heart of your children to follow after the same God you followed after, because you can't make them follow him. They have to do it from their heart and your grandchildren. There is 21:20 Proverbs. There is treasure to be desired. That means they'll want it. You're the salt of the earth. Do you make the kids thirsty? The way you live by these hidden treasures, you're making them thirsty if you live that way. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Oh, yeah, they like the material things. Dad, you've been a success. But this goes deeper than that. Listen. There is a treasure to be desired and all in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. I had one son that really backslid. The devil tried to kill him. That'll break your heart. He sent me a card at Christmas, or he gave me and his mother a card, says, I am honored to live in this house as long as I live here. He pays rent, by the way. Not for me. Lighten them ties. It's not for God. He can do without your money. It's for you. But you can keep your head screwed on straight so the money don't get to your head. So you remember where it goes from. He said, I consider it a privilege as long as I live here and have great respect for both of you and for God. There is oil, there is treasure to be desired. God put it there. Treasure number six, your children's heart to desire the same God that you follow. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Sometime hook that verse up right there with Matthew 25, 1 through 13, the story of the 10 virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. The wise took extra oil. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in your life. Ephesians 5, 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, they want to be, they want what you got, because you never quit. You know, I wondered what my son thought last night, or for the last few days that I was putting this sermon together. You think I prepared this in 2 hours? But see, he's seen me preach over the years before he was born. And he sees me still doing it. I haven't quit. It's that oil that keeps flowing. It keeps working. It's the Word. It's prayer. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the kingdom. And I'm closer to it than I used to be. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to. Now, I admit I don't want to die and leave my kids and my wife and my grandkids. But I'm not afraid of it. I am not afraid of it. One of the great things to me is be on my deathbed, if I'm privileged to be laying in the bed, and say, Hallelujah! Victory! All right. The last one. And everybody said, Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's start off right there. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, there's different kind of witnessing, but I'm going to tell you a kind that maybe you hadn't thought of. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 7, let's read it. Just follow me. But if our gospel be hid, what's the good news? Jesus died and rose again that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them, believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil has blinded the sinner's eyes. But if you bind the devil and you pray over him, God can open his eyes that he can see. You know what? You know you've been working on that hidden treasure, the kingdom within you. You've been going to work. You know the kingdom and Jesus is right here. You know the words right here. You know prayers right here. God's leading you maybe to somebody today. Your life is speaking. Your family is speaking because they've been transformed like you've been transformed. And all the time you didn't know it, but you've been witnessing to the world right there. When you backed out of your driveway today and came to church, you witnessed to your neighbors right there. That you believe in something more than yourself. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. See, he's preaching. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure. Temple of the Holy Ghost right here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. To God be the glory. Amen. That's what life is about.